Welcome to another episode here at Supernatural Confessions Podcast, where it is a safe place for you to confess all your experiences, be it supernatural, myths, urban legends, superstitions, or even the unknowns. And as a team, we'll compile and feature your confessions on our platforms. You may reach out to us through our Facebook page or website. You just need to search supernaturalconfessions.com. And you are also invited to join us every Friday night on our Facebook Live, where Eugene, the founder of Supernatural Confessions, Sonia Corona, occasionally Joe Dakota, and I host a weekly live show discussing all about the supernatural. I'm Kim, your host for this podcast series, and now let's get on to the confessions.
Is anyone here?
What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
First confession we have for this week's podcast. It's a story all the way from Taiwan. And this confession, it's by Fiona, voiced by Sonia Kurana.
Cinema in Taiwan by Fiona Chan. Since 2005, I would travel to Taiwan twice a year, if not at least once a year, usually 6 months apart. In 2008, around the month of November, three friends and I decided to go on a year-end trip before two of my friends officially moved back to Malaysia and another migrate to the US. We arrived at our accommodation in Ximending, Taipei, our hotel, in the early afternoon, and decided to have our late lunch and shop for a bit before we go back to the hotel for the rest of the evening. As it was a Friday, Ximending was especially packed with tourists and locals. I believe many people who traveled to Taipei had heard of or even stayed at our hotel before, with all the various hotel brands popping up, as it was a very centrally located and right smack in the heart of Ximending, where all the exciting happenings are. Basically, it was the best hotel to stay at, as it was cheap and reasonably comfortable. 90s decor, somewhat similar to Hotel 81, and fragrance hotel style, but they actually renovated some of their rooms later on to be more modern in order to attract more customers. Before there was even a Uniqlo, there was a cinema, and Rose Records few doors down from the hotel. So after some shopping and dinner, we went to the cinema to catch a midnight show. On the booking video, we saw the famous Taiwanese movie Cape Number 7. It had just been released a few days before. You know how Singaporeans love midnight shows. And since it was a Friday, we expected a long queue. When we asked for the midnight show, which was at 12:15 a.m., the booking staff looked up from the screen through the transparent counter shield and stared at us. 10 seconds passed by before she began with a response. "Oh no, which timing did you say you wanted?" So my Malaysian friend G, who speaks very proper Mandarin, repeated our request and said, "Four tickets, 12:15, last show, please." The girl looked at us again and again. After a long silence, she replied, "Okay, you girls can have the student price. It comes with popcorn and a drink." My friend H, who's super bad at understanding Mandarin, went, "Oh, student price? Popcorn?" We went back to the cinema after our short nap, gestured by the ticket booth staff to take the lift up to the theater. The lift opens up to a dark level where most of the lights are off. We collect our popcorn. Soon we were inside the cinema waiting for the movie to start. However, after about 15 minutes of waiting, we realized that we are the only ones. Yes, only four of us in the entire cinema. We were in the center section, four rows from the last. So the light went dim, and while the screen was showing advertisements, we heard the cinema door open and bang back loudly. From the corner of my eye, I saw a tall, yellowish, golden figure dash up the stairs in an instant and plonk itself into the left row of seats beside us. Honestly, I did not understand what I just saw, as it happened too fast. I even exclaimed, Wow, run so fast, Lei. It has never occurred to me at that moment that why would anyone dash so fast from the bottom of the cinema to the back of the theater? Now allow me to explain why it had not occurred to me that something was wrong. First, I had an on and off relationship with dirty sightings, while my sixth sense has always been strong and working diligently, my goosebump signal to those things can sometimes switch off for a very long period of time, like say a few years, and then suddenly come back. I concluded it was because I had diligently avoided going to all those places which I would deem dirty. Two, the banging sound of the closing door was so loud that everyone could hear. It sounds exactly like how cinema doors are being opened and closed. And I indeed saw a human figure with colored light, though, which I attributed to the effects of the bright screen. But then, there wasn't any goosebump signal on my arms. However, halfway into the show, I realized that my entire body was feeling colder and colder, like about 12 to 15 degrees, that kind of coldness. Normal cinema aircon is almost at 18 to 23 degrees. I was shivering from the cold, despite wearing a thick cardigan. It's the type you feel so cold until you can feel air, cold air, going through your body. So I turned to my friend P, who's on my left, and asked, "Hey, how come you suddenly so quiet, ah? Do you feel cold?" But she simply gestured to me to watch the movie and ignored me. As I felt colder and colder, I cannot keep quiet and started to ask her again. But she laughed at the show and again ignored my question and said, "You see that person? So funny!" At that instant, I eventually realized from the corner of my eye that the yellowish golden light had shifted to the seat behind me. Not exactly directly behind, but close enough, about three seats away. So since the friend on the left is not answering my question, I switched to asking G, the friend on my right. The friend on my right simply replied with "Nope" to my "Do you feel cold? I feel as if in igloo leh." When the movie finished, I saw the yellowish golden figure left its seat and disappeared into the back of the cinema quickly. That day I couldn't sleep much, as P snored throughout most of the night. I dozed off finally near dawn and woke up to two equally tired roommates after about an hour or so. G and H said they couldn't sleep, but it wasn't due to P snoring. Both of them felt something black looking at them while they were sleeping. P chided me for talking loudly last night, which I swear I did not, because I was obviously awake almost the entire night, so I don't know who she heard. She then went on to tell us that something was inside the theater with us the whole time and explained to us that she didn't want to reply me because that thing was very near us. As for G and H, they said they totally did not feel anything amiss and did not feel cold in the theater at all. That was the first time and the last time I watched a midnight show alone with my friends in Ximending in such an empty cinema. 2 years ago, when I was talking to my feng shui master who's based in Malaysia, I recounted about the yellow gold figure to him and his wife. His wife told me that I had seen a god, whereas the black figure my friends saw in the hotel room are likely to be spirits with a mission, like the ghost constable.
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions podcast. If you have your own confession, do share it with us through our website, supernaturalconfessions.com. Remember, you are not alone. That is just the first part of the story. And according to Fiona, she has a lot more. So this is story number two. Since watching midnight movies is a no-no to me in an overseas country, I guess watching it in the afternoon it's a much better choice. About 5 years ago, I was on my usual Taiwan trip, but this time with my sister. With no itinerary and simply wanting to chill and relax, my Yilan, an hour from Taipei by coach, friends who run a homestay suggest that I go to their local cinema to watch a movie for a taste of how locals enjoy their entertainment, followed by shopping and dinner at the night market. so our friend drove us to a local grocery store to buy the movie ticket. Yep, you heard it right. Grocery store, which is equivalent to our mama shop, and then drop us off at the cinema entrance, obviously from the building's 1940s ultra old look. One had to expect it was a smaller scale cinema. True enough, it was only with one small hole. I must say we are very, very lucky that Singapore currently has very decent cinemas as we get more and more modern. Imagine all our cinemas are still operating in old and rundown cinemas, building like Princess, Queenstown, Oriental, and Yangtze Cinema. I bet a lot of our people won't want to go to that kind of places, don't we? And back to the story. The tickets came with a small paper bag of green tea popcorn, like those brown paper bag you put your char siu or chicken bun, and a regular size orange juice for each person. Since it was 3 p.m. in the afternoon, the theatre was quite empty, with only about 8 people, I think, I remember. Okay, at least better than just 4 people. We were watching this thriller that's full of blood, which I could not remember the name. I only remember it was an English thriller, which was aired in Taiwan cinemas earlier than Singapore, when suddenly, midway through the show, I felt something blowing at my neck. Back then, I had a short bob haircut. Once, twice, three times. It feels as if someone's mouth was so near to my neck. It went on for a long time until I shifted to the next seat. Thinking that the blowing will go away by itself, I happily continued to eat my popcorn and watch my movie. However, about 20 minutes later, I once again felt the disturbance. This time, it changed to a whispering voice which I could not make out the exact words that it was saying. It was simply whispering, which honestly sounds like an ultra soft hissing sound. "Go further to sit. Don't disturb. I want to watch my movie," I said sternly. After waiting for about 5 minutes and nothing happened, I assumed that it has taken the hint and moved away. So I was waiting for my sister outside the toilet after the movie. But I waited and waited. She simply did not come out even after 20 minutes. Since she didn't wear any makeup or mention that she wanted to take a dump, it should not take that long. Hence, I went into the toilet. To my shock, she was sprawled on the floor, face facing down. She was groaning and started to curse and sway, saying she was shouting for me, but I just didn't come in and check on her. As she couldn't move, she remained on the floor while continuing to shout for me, hoping I would come in to rescue her since I was near the toilet door. However, I told her I did not hear anyone shouting. Otherwise, I would have gone in to see what happened. So I help her up, wash up a little bit, and luckily the floor and the toilet is clean, dry, and well maintained. We managed to get out of the toilet, and it was a distance away from the cinema walking towards the night market. She told me she felt something trip her, something like a leg. But when she tried to see who was that fellow, she realized she was the only one in the toilet. So we called up our friends and told them about the injury, which resulted in some scratches and bruises at the knee area, brought some food at the night market and quickly went back to apply medicine. My friends were shocked about what happened at the cinema and told me they have gone there to watch movies since young, but had not actually experienced anything there. That night, we went back to the homestay and Googled about the cinema. Basically, what I found out that night was that the second floor of the building used to house another small hall that shows R-rated movie in the older days. The cinema was once an open-air theatre during the Japanese occupation period, and then it became another cinema under another name. After operating under the new name for 30 years, it was merged with another cinema until today. But exactly what happened in that cinema? Till today, I find no explanation.
Here at Supernatural Confessions,
We would like to remind you, whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there. We have heard countless of stories or confessions from people about cinemas. And people believe that cinema has a lot of these stories is because the yin energy due to the dark ambience of the cinema leads to all this happening. Do you have your own personal encounter when you are watching movie? The next confession entitled My Seventh Month Experience by Ellen.
I remember that was during my seven month, you know, where there's a lot of people praying their joist paper incense on the floor, those drain, you know, where HDB. So what people will do is that they will actually use a white chalk, right, to draw a circle around it, telling people to be careful not to step into that burnt incense which is left over at the drain there, you know. Those are the days when I was in my primary 2, I remember. As usual, you know, as a kid, you will be a bit skeptical, a bit, you know, superstitious, but yet still not really sure whether to believe or not. So what I did was, you know, as a playful little boy, I always like to buy those kind of small little ping pong ball. It's actually a very rubber and elastic kind of ball, transparent, that you can throw it on the ground, it will fly very high, you know. Those are the balls that I love to buy. So one day I was playing with it, then it actually bounced and hit the incense. So what I did was that I went up there, and you know, I used to watch a lot of those vampire ghost catcher, you know, those, yeah, there's this Taoist guy, you know, in Hong Kong movie. Yeah, so he actually said one sentence. He says, which I also said that, okay. So I went up there, I took the ball from the incense, and I still visibly remember there was some fruits on the ground as well. And I actually crossed into that boundary where there's actually dropped by a round white chalk around that drainage. So I actually said, was quite brave, you know. And I say, 人不犯鬼，鬼不犯人. Yeah. So these words, until today, I can still remember. And that's where all the horror actually starts. Or I should say, my balls just disappear. For consecutively, the first encounter, consecutively 3 days, okay, the first encounter was when I was playing it at home. It actually bounced off and flew out of the window. And the next moment, it's gone, you know, out of the living room window. The second encounter was when I was playing along the corridor, and it actually flew out of the corridor as well. And when I tried to pick downstairs, it's gone as well. So it's not logical in some sense. And the third time was the worst, because as I was playing at the leaf, it kind of just something, I felt an invisible force or energy hitting my hand. And the next moment, it just disappeared right in front of my hand, you know. It's like, normally it has to bounce off somewhere and then it drops somewhere, but it just disappeared. That was the most eerie part. So I actually told my sister, and my sister was, and I think it happens on the fourth day already. That's when I decided, I think I should better ask my sister what should I do or find a solution. You know, I feel that something is actually not right. So when I actually told my sister, she says, okay, you need to go back to that same place, okay, to that same drain where it's drawn with the chalk, and then you just pray sincerely and say, I'm sorry, okay, please forgive me. And so I did. The next day after school, I went back and I prayed, and from that day onwards, everything was fine. But I can remember that feeling that when I prayed to that drain and I said sorry, I can feel a very, like, a heavy burden actually left me, you see. So I think this is especially for this 7 month, 7月啦, huh? Better don't anyhow, you know, watch where you are walking. Yeah, I will can only tell you, watch where you are walking.
If you like the content here on the podcast, you are also invited to join Eugene, Sonia, Joe, and Kim at Supernatural Confessions Facebook page every Friday, 10 p.m. Malaysia and Singapore time, where they'll discuss, dissect, and go deeper in details on your confession. And I'll be waiting for you there.
When we were younger, we do a lot of silly things. Some taught us a valuable lesson. Some cause us harm. But whatever it may be, do continue to share your story when you were younger. Hopefully the youngsters who heard or read about it learn something from it. And here is another story with a valuable lesson to learn from Muhammad Nurhazik. Sometimes in 2017, I was part of an adventure group mainly consisting three of us. Jay, Howard, and me. Jay is my childhood friend while Howard is my neighborhood friend. One day, all three of us planned to go for a ghost trail at Bukit Batok Nature Park. We reached the location in the morning for a short recce on that place that we were about to go. It is said that there was a rape and murder case happened there and it remained unsolved until today. So we decided to check it out if it's true or it is just rumor. So knowing about the background info of that place, when we reached the spot, the three of us saw this one special tree. Not sure what to say about the tree, it just felt that it is out of the ordinary. So what makes the tree so special? One, it's because of the height. It is about 5 meters tall. Other than its height, one of the branches I saw has a Chinese talisman and a red thread tying the talisman to the tree branch. Upon noticing the talisman, I warned Jay and Howard not to disturb the tree. Jay understood and he stayed beside me. But not for Howard, like usual. I don't know if Howard is just plain stupid or just asking for trouble, because he went straight to the talisman and poked it. Afterwards, I left them because I don't think I should be continuing the adventure with them, so I took off. Jay stayed a little longer because he brought his camera with him to take some shots when the night falls. To cut a long story short, Jay went home safe and sound, but not for Howard. He paid the price for disturbing the talisman on the tree branch earlier. He told me after that on his way back home while he was cycling, something jammed his bike from the front, making him trip a few meters ahead, landed under a tree. He said he saw something like a black figure just darted past him from his sight when he fell down. So the moral of the story is, if you see anything suspicious on the floor, don't even bother going anywhere near it. We won't know what kind of repercussions we might face. Don't be like Howard, okay?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions podcast. If you have your own confession, do share it with us through our website, supernaturalconfessions.com. Remember, you are not alone.
Our next confession has a relation to this week's Know Your Hunter. So the confession comes from Michaela. I used to have a kumantong before. Please allow me to share a little story of mine. There was this time I've totally forgotten to change his sweets and snacks, and he let me dream of him. That was the very first time he let me dream about him. And when I woke up, I immediately apologized to him and changed his snack. When I first brought him home, there was a knocking sound, actually for quite a few times on the shelf. My sister and I both heard it. And that first night, my dog wouldn't sleep and keep on barking non-stop. So I told my kumantong, if you want to play with my dog, please be quiet, don't let it bark, as it is very late at night already. And surprisingly, my dog stopped barking immediately after that. But why I say I used to have? Because I believe my Kumantong has reincarnated and he has followed the Buddha. All come to an end when I eventually dreamed of him walking into a bright place. So I've returned the Kumantong statue to a Thai temple, as I strongly believe not to keep any statue at home. It is like an empty vessel waiting for something else to occupy. And so this week's Know Your Hantu, you should have be able to tell what it is about. This week in Know Your Hantu, we have Kumantong. The Thai occult tradition of Kumantong originated in 19th century poet Sun Tong Poo's novel Kun Chang Kun Pine, which in the story, Kun Pine, a high-ranking officer in military and also close to the king, earns the favor of a powerful sorcerer. The sorcerer likes him so much he offers his daughter in marriage. Unfortunately, not long after his wife got pregnant, Kun Pine and his father-in-law got into a heated argument which leads to the sorcerer plots to have Kun Pine murdered. Kun Pine discovered that his wife was commanded by his father to poison him, and in vengeful madness, Kun Pine cuts his own kid out of his wife. With a bloody fetus in his hand, Kun Pine builds a fire at a temple, placing the body on a grill after wrapping it in pieces of sacred cloth covered in prayers. While Kun Pine chants prayers, the roasting soon reduces the fetus to a dried out husk, with only paper thin skin stretched over a skeleton. At the end of the ritual, the violently aborted child had become a ghost which the father can speak and communicate with. That is the fictional side of Kumantong. The authentic Kumantong originated in the practice of necromancy. Fetuses that died while still in their mother's womb were obtained, and witch doctors or shamans were said to have the power to invoke the stillborn babies, adopt them as their children, and use them to help them in their endeavors. According to ancient Thai manuscripts used by practitioners of black magic or Sayasat in Thai, first, the unborn fetus was surgically removed from the womb of its mother. Then the body of the child would be taken to a cemetery for the conduction of the proper ceremonial ritual to invoke a Kumantong. The body was roasted until dry whilst the witch doctor or the shaman chanted incantations of magical script. Once the rite was completed, the dry roasted kumant was painted with yala, a kind of lacquer used to cover amulets and takrut with gold leaf, and later covered in more gold leaves. Thus, this effigy received the name of Kumantong, meaning golden little boy. The term in Bahasa Melayu Anak Emas or Golden Child in English, which means the one who is favored, often held in high esteem by others, is a different entity. Here at Supernatural Confessions, we would like to remind you, whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there. So the last story for this week's podcast comes from David. While there are some Kumantong stories here and there, I notice there are almost no stories here about Doyos. That is the time of writing. The Malay folklore version of the Thai Kumantong, or spirits of dead children and or fetuses that was brought to life by Bomos or shaman to serve sinister purposes. I encountered one in my teens at the campground in Penang way back in 1991. I remember back then I was 14 and I was very much into Boy Scout activities. They always kept us busy with camping trips, jamborees, campfires and hiking expeditions whenever there were school holidays. One school holiday, we had a camping trip in the youth park on Penang Island. This youth park was located within the Penang Municipal Park, which has a cemetery nearby. The campground was slightly elevated and had a children's playground at the lower part of the park. The first night of the camping trip, we had a huge campfire and had a barbecue and a little cookout. Then, when we were finished, around midnight, we took all the dishes and cooking utensils to wash at the public toilet, which was located about 200 meters away from the playground. Because there were quite a lot of washing to do, we went in a group of six. As we walked past the playground, I noticed at one corner of the playground under the white-colored strip lamp, there was a little kid about 4 to 5 playing at the playground. Running around, swinging, playing at the slides, and was just having fun. I thought to myself, why would someone allow the kid to play in a deserted playground in the middle of the night? And to think about it, the park was closed by 7. But I decided not to tell any of my friends because I don't want them to be paranoid. And I do think that I'm the only person who can see it. And if I tell my friends and they couldn't see it, they would probably think I've lost it. And as we passed closer to the playground under the whitish street lamp, I could make up a little of how this kid looked like. Greenish skin and a wrinkled face like someone's over 80 years old. It was playing happily without a worry in the world, it seems. All the hair on my hands and the back of my neck was standing by this time. I somehow worried as we inched closer to the public washroom. What if this thing suddenly noticed us and came over to disturb us? I remember I was silent the whole time while my friends were jovial and joking away, obviously, to what was there before them. After we passed by the playground, I turned around and saw the kid was still playing happily and wasn't even bothered by a group of noisy boy scouts with dirty dishes, pots and pans who walked past. Because we were in a big group, I had some courage mustered up and managed to not freak out or had a nervous breakdown. After all, I have been seeing weird, unexplainable stuff ever since I was 10. We have come to the end of this episode of Supernatural Confessions. If you have enjoyed this episode, please rate us with a 5-star review on whichever platform you are streaming this podcast on. Go on and tell your friends and family about us. You can find more of our content on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Search for keyword Supernatural Confessions. If you or someone you know have a confession to make, visit supernaturalconfessions.com. You can send it in text, voice memo, or even video format. Let us know if you want your identity to be kept secret. Supernatural Confessions is created by Eugene Tay. Until the next episode, my name is Kim, your host for this podcast series, signing off with, whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there.